This is Phil Ferrand, and I am not driving home today because I'm already home. Because this last week, the city of Springfield followed the example of St. Louis and of Kansas City, and they issued a shelter-in-place, stay-at-home order for the next 30 days. Because of the coronavirus. So this is in March of 2020. I'm really glad that I don't have to make these decisions. Because there are so many factors involved and it's so difficult to know what the future holds. And I had looked through a bunch of notes last night and I thought, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and just do another topic, but nothing really felt like the right thing. And I just kept looking and thinking, and then I thought, well, I'll just record something coming back from grocery shopping today, because it is Friday as opposed to Thursday. And I had the choice of either recording something yesterday, just walking around again or doing something like that, or recording something on the way home from grocery shopping today. And that was the plan, since this is called driving home. But I got bustling around this morning, and it's not part of my normal routine to take the recorder with me on Fridays, and so I didn't even realize I didn't have it with me until I was getting ready to come home, and I could have recorded it on my phone, but the sound isn't as good. And it is a gorgeous day, and the sun is out, and I just thought, you know what, this is going to be a chance just to get outside, sit on the porch, listen to the birds, listen to the crickets. I think that's crickets or cicadas, one of the two, I don't know. Listen to the wind rustling the leaves. I thought maybe I'll just do that. Get a little vitamin D because the sun is out temporarily. I'm throwing shadows. It's been overcast, but the clouds have just cleared. And so I thought, you know what? Oh, we got cows too. Is that a cow or is that a car or something? I don't know. One of those is a cow. Anyways, one of them is a car too as well, coming by. But anyway, so all is well. Worked from home all week. That took a little rebalancing, but you know, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're at my major client. They have put in systems and things to where what they're doing is anybody who can work from home is going to be working from home. We are all technically back to work next week, but we are all working remotely as much as possible. For those who can't work remotely or would prefer to do something else, then they can take vacation or they can take sick leave. I think there's some provision for them to take sick leave as well, and they can even go negative in their sick leave and then make it up later. So my major client, they are doing whatever they can to try to assist people through this time. So it's going to be interesting. We do have a 30-day stay-at-home order, as I mentioned. I did get the book landed and read through. And so I'm working on cover now, and I think I've got the cover pretty much in place, aside from the fact I still need to shoot pictures of the grandkids. So we're going to try to get that done this weekend. I've already alerted everybody that this book's going to be a little late. So I've got beta readers already pretty much signed up at this point. I think I just have a few slots left over. But, you know, if I get those slots filled, fine. And if I don't get them filled, that's just fine, too. All is well. I'm technically supposed to be starting book 13 on Sunday. So to get to book 13 on Sunday, I need to do taxes this weekend. I need to get the cover finished. I need to get all the files finished up, uploaded, although I'm close on that. Once I have the pictures of the grandkids, I should just be able to pop them in and color balance them, and you know, we should be good to go there. So I'm close. And then it's going to be a mad dash to Easter, because I'm trying to get an Easter costume finished up. But I have all the pieces for that. It's just a matter of the work, doing the work now. So all in all, things are puttering along. All of this has met that some of our deadlines. We were planning on going into beta for two different things in March, and it looks like that's going to slide. For one thing, there's nobody in the building to be able to beta test. So, you know, there you go. But the other thing that's been interesting for me to watch, and again, I'm so grateful and glad that I don't have to make these decisions about how to deal with this. But I have been reminded over and over and over again in this whole situation about the simple fact that the future is a fascinating opportunity for us. The past, it's always amazing to me that our lives are made up of things that we cannot change. We cannot change the past. That our lives, and there's so many things in the past that we cannot change. Things that have happened to us, decisions that we have made, things that people have decided that have affected us in terrible ways, or even in great ways. Catastrophes that have happened around the world, things that have happened that we cannot change. All of our lives are chocked full of these things, because every memory that we have, obviously, is a memory of an event that we cannot change. Now, that doesn't mean we can't change our viewpoint of the event, how we evaluate the event. But the actual facts of the event themselves occurred, and we cannot change them. But our lives are also filled with all kinds of things that we cannot predict. And ultimately, we cannot directly influence, and that, of course, is the future. There are so many things that we are so good at as humans. Thinking about what might happen. And the really fascinating thing to me, and it's something that I have to remind myself of, because it's so easy to fall into a way because of what the flesh tries to do to us. It's so easy to fall into a way about thinking about what might happen, thinking about what the future is. It's so easy to fall into a way of thinking and to become convinced about that way of thinking, when in fact, we have no idea what's going to happen. I mentioned this on the podcast, I think multiple weeks ago, that I and a friend had gone to one of the local restaurants here, Gailey's Breakfast Cafe, and it is Friday today. I may go and just order something from them just so I can go down and say hello, because I miss them. I'm going to be uploading some videos tomorrow about something on a stick day, which is tomorrow. It's a national holiday, something on a stick day. So I'm going to be uploading some videos about some of my encounters and some of the things that I did. just for the fun of doing it. But we were at Gailey's several weeks ago, and there was a new waitress who was there, and she came over, and she was one of those young ladies who cowers through life, you know? I mean, listen, being a young lady in this society is, goodness, it's difficult. It's so difficult. So I understand there's a lot of fears and there's a lot of, but especially this is one who had chosen to present herself as someone who is very hesitant. But she had come by, and it was the first time I'd seen her. I said, oh, so, and in fact, the first time I saw her, she was training in, so she was apprenticing. And I said, oh, hey, you're going to be new here. And she said, yeah, I'm going to be new. And so then the next time we were in, she was actually waiting on us. And I said, oh, hey, it'd been like a week later. Hey, how's it going? How's everything? Oh, I think it's going okay. You know, I'm trying to learn all this stuff, and I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to learn it, and I'm working. And I'd started to talk to her. I said, you know, the really interesting thing about life is that we just have no idea what the future will hold. It's impossible. We don't know. We have no idea. Stuff can come out of the blue. Random stuff can happen. We just don't know. I said, but isn't it interesting that oftentimes when we think about the future, we always think about the future as the worst possibility, that the worst possibility is going to come true. And I said, I've kind of decided that maybe what I'm going to do is start thinking, well, maybe the worst possibility is going to come true, but maybe the best possibility is going to come true as well. Maybe the best possibility is going to come true. And if you're going to be waiting for the future, and if that future is going to be fundamentally out of your control, although there's certainly things you can do to plan and to help, and I'm a big advocate of listening every day to the voice of God and following His whispers, because I have found that to be one of the best guarantees of a good future, is simply to follow His voice. It's amazing how well things work out if you follow His voice. Ultimately, I have no idea to gather, no idea, no way to gather all of the things that might interact and to predict how they're going to interact so that I would know what the future will hold. It's just impossible. It's not possible. So there are many different ways that the future could resolve itself. And what we're seeing now, especially, is that there are many to many, 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 many things. And most people seem to be wanting to just completely focus on all the worst things that could happen. Now, there's motivation for some of that. Certainly, if you are a news broadcasting mainline service, what you have learned is that if you do certain types of stories, then people will click on them. And that becomes the important thing, because if people click on them, then you make ad revenue. And ad revenue is the thing. It is the way, because subscriptions have fallen off so dramatically, it's the only way that news agencies can sustain themselves is with ad revenue. And so they really have to put out stories that get people's attention and get people to click on them. And the best way to do that is to be catastrophic. The best way to do that is to say that everything is the worst possible thing that has ever happened, that everything simply preludes the worst possible thing that's going to happen, that last decision that was made is going to lead us to the worst possible condition ever, because that's what people click on. And certainly the media has really, really gone after Trump And certainly many people in the media are political opponents of Trump simply because of their affiliations. But, and there's some of that, definitely, but I think on a larger scale, news medias have to make money. And so they're going to do stories that they think rile people up. And they're going to do things to not only report with specific agendas and specific slants, but also to project how what happened today is going to result in the worst possible disaster ever. Because what we do as individuals, when we look at things and we decide that the worst possible result ever is going to come about, what we do as individuals there, when we get together as a collection of individuals, guess what? We do the same thing. We do the same thing. And as I was talking to this young lady down at Gailey's, I was saying, you know, isn't that interesting that we always seem, when we look forward to the future, that we always think about what is the worst possible thing that could happen. And my dad used to actually justify that as a great way of living. He said, because, you know, if you always expect the worst, you'll never be disappointed. And I would look at him and I'd say, but Dad, what kind of a way is that to live? Always racked with anxiety, always expecting the next shoe to drop, always expecting that, oh, look how horrible things are going to be. And I've been in somewhat of a crush these last couple of weeks. Because frankly, I've got a third part-time job now. You know, the consulting is actually a part-time job because I don't work a full 40-hour week. I usually only work 33, 34 hours a week. So that's kind of a part-time job. I consider my writing to be sort of a part-time job. And it used to always be, it was the work and it was the writing. Well, now it's the work and it's the writing and it's the costumes. Which, by the way, we have some friends in this whole social distancing thing. He's part of Royal Rangers International and that's part of a kids ministry. And so he has some costumes and things. So the other day he put on a clown costume and he went to a store and he came out and his wife had taken pictures of him and he had captioned them and said, easy social distancing. He said, you know, just wear an outfit like this and no one will come around you. So I had hopped on and wrote him. I said, good job, buddy. I said, you look fabulous. And he had written back and we'd kind of correspond back and forth. But one of the things that he said was, he said, the smiles were the best. He said, some people said hello. He said, but just seeing people light up and smile. And I said, man, people have no idea how much I get paid, in quotes, paid to dress up in costumes. And certainly the same was true today for when we celebrated something on a stick day. Certainly that's true. But because of that, I've actually had my focus split a third way, and it's mostly impacted my writing. So it's kind of slowed me down. It has taken time away what I normally be doing those things. And it caused a couple of decisions. I over Christmas, I normally would write. And I decided to kind of lay back a little bit. And I think maybe even I worked on the polka dot day costume a little bit. Maybe, I can't remember for sure. But I basically went for the entire week without writing, which is unusual. I have been a week behind on this book ever since. And I had some things to get ready for something on a stick day. And so, I've been kind of doing those in parallel and working on those when I've been doing the writing. And, you know, there certainly was an opportunity to go, oh, goodbye, it's all coming apart. You're not going to get this book done. It's going to be, and certainly that stuff tried to percolate up. But all I do is just do the best job that I could do every day and then say, well, there we go, and we'll just do what we can do, you know? And so it is, all those pieces are coming together. I have told the beta readers that things may be a little late, but I've offered to send them the PDF instead, if that will work for them. I've had a couple of beta readers take me up on that. So, you know, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be fine. It's just all going to be fine. And that is a good way to expect it to be. I told several people today, I said, you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this and it's going to be fine. And there were several people said, yeah, we're going to get through this. It will be all right. Yeah, we'll be all right. We're going to get through this. That is the cat. That is the chunky cat. That is Oliver, who I think is like 22 pounds. So anyways, the future, it's been so interesting to watch all these predictions about the future and what is going to happen with the coronavirus and how terrible it's going to be and how it's going to overwhelm hospitals and how all the ICUs are going to be filled up and we're going to run out of ventilators and there isn't going to be any protective gear and people are going to be dying and they're going to be put on do not resuscitate orders and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Nothing's going to solve this thing and it's just going to blah, 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 blah. I mean, just all kinds of gloom and doom. And to me, it just sounds exactly like the same process that goes on in me when I look out to the things that are coming. There's always that voice in me that's always trying to tell me doom and gloom and the sky is falling and everything's coming apart, blah, 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 blah. Because that voice obviously is the flesh. And the flesh is not telling me those things because it wants to be accurate. It's telling me those things because it wants to motivate me to make destructive decisions. And it's the same thing with all these news stories that you see. All these news stories, they have an agenda. They want you to click on the news story. That's their agenda. Now, they will tell you, no, we're speaking truth to power, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. But it's amazing how half-truths get reported, and then when the real truth comes out, there's not any rush to print a retraction to say, oh, yeah, well, sorry, we were incorrect there, and we did this, and we did that. I mean, you could document this over and over where there's some sort of big inflammatory headline, and then more of the story comes out, and then when you get the whole story, you look at the inflammatory headline and you think, well, that's not what I think the saddest / oddest / in a way funniest one this week was about the couple who had taken this kind of hydrine stuff that looks like maybe promising for treating coronavirus. And apparently they had heard President Trump say something about this might be good in treating coronavirus. And they had taken some of it, and the news media is just, and then they put them in the hospital, and the news media just jumped all over this. Where this couple takes this, and now they're hospitalized, and they're going to die, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. One of them has died, and this is how horrible this is, how terrible this is. Because everybody at this point wants, because they want the worst possible outcome, because that's what they're predicting. They don't want to hear anything about there might be another outcome. Like there might be a combination of drugs that's used for malaria that also happens to work on SARS. Maybe those drugs could be beneficial, and there is some anecdotal evidence that they might be. Greg Mundis, who is the man I shook hands with, potentially, I don't know exactly when he was infected, but potentially the day after he was infected, who I had breakfast with, potentially, I don't know, like I said, I don't know exactly what the timeline was. The reason that I sort of self-quarantined for a couple of weeks, and I've been talking for a while, and my voice is actually drying out, and I need some drink, which is the reason I'm coughing. It's not coronavirus! So he had actually been given this schedule. I heard his son talking about this, of these drugs, and they said that it was dramatic They said he'd been given them like on a Monday night, and by Tuesday night, he was markedly better. Okay, so that's a potential. So then you've got this news story that comes out and says, see, you know, these people took this and now they're in the hospital. That was the news story. These people took it and now they're in the hospital. One of them died. And that's it. Well, then when you dig down into the story, the rest of the story is that apparently they heard President Trump talking about this. They heard him say that here's this, you know, chemical. And they, in their minds, changed that to this keeps you from getting coronavirus. And apparently the wife was cleaning out their pantry and found this stuff in a box in the back and turned it over. And it sounded similar enough to her that she decided, well, President Trump says that this stuff will keep you from getting coronavirus. And so she tells her husband this stuff will keep you from getting coronavirus. So then they put it in soda and they drink it, and lo and behold, it's not any time at all. They start feeling ill because A, it's not medical grade, and B, it's supposed to be used for cleaning fish tanks. So it's not, and you just go, oh no. But there will be no clarification on that story. Because clarifications on that story will not generate clicks. So since they won't generate clicks, then we'll just go on to whatever the next catastrophe is. So I would just encourage you, as all these things are going out, there was another article that I'd come across that said, study shows that taking this chloro, whatever it is, has no market effect. I'm like, really? It's a full-blown study? Has not shown that. So, you know, I clicked through, which is what they wanted. I clicked through. Turns out it was a study of 30 people. And in the study, as you get down there, they said, yeah, well, this is not really statistically significant. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily controlled. And it wasn't, it's like, oh, man. But that'll get a click. Because there's some people who absolutely do not want there to be a solution. And they have their own reasons for why they don't want there to be a solution. And so anything that supports that, bam, they're going to click on that. Or anything that looks like it may not be a solution, bam, those people are going to click on it, like me. Because I think that's one of the really interesting things that are on the horizon. So at this point, where we are right now, March, whatever it is, March 27, here's the things that I see that are really, really interesting about this whole business. No one knows what the death rate is on this. No one knows what the mortality rate is because there hasn't been enough testing. You see these headlines like, United States surpasses the world in the number of coronavirus cases. Okay, that is not a true statement. Let me put it this way. That statement cannot be validated. Because China kicked out all their journalists and now is just reporting the numbers they want to report. So who knows how many people are in China? I don't think India is even testing. We're not really testing all those people. There was just a story came out in the news here of a lady in Springfield. So she's got symptoms. She goes, they test her for strep throat and for the flu. She tests negative, so they send her home with Tamiflu. She goes home, spends a couple of days. She gets worse. She comes back into the respiratory tent. They test her for strep throat and the flu. Again, she still comes back negative. So then finally, they test her for COVID-19. She comes back positive. Okay, she had to get to the place. She had to get to the place where she was showing such severe symptoms, and they had tested everything else that finally, in a last-ditch attempt, they test her for COVID-19. Those are the confirmed cases. When we already know that there's all kinds of other people who get mild cases of these because we've got some rich and famous people who've managed to get tested, and that's one thing I heard one commentator say. He said, don't you find it interesting that there's so many rich and famous people we're hearing about that are testing positive for COVID-19? And he said, the reason is they're the ones that are getting tested. And the penetration rate and the infection rate in the rich and famous people is probably somewhere around, you know, something similar to the rest of us. And what that means is there's probably a whole lot more of us that have this that aren't even aware that we have it. And then once you have that number, then all the other numbers shift. Because there's already people, credible people, that are saying, well, again, the future, because the mortality rate is really about the future. Because if you say the mortality rate is 5% on this thing, and because it's spread, we expect 70% of the population of the United States to get it. Well, now all of a sudden, you're up in the 200 million range of the number of people who are going to get it. And if you've got 5% of that, okay, that's significant. That's like 10 million people. And if that happens all at once, that's a huge drain on the health system. But, again, it's the future, so we don't know what's going to happen. And a lot of people are just talking about worst case scenario, because you see these broad range of numbers. And in best case scenario, which may not be, but there's no evidence to say that it's got an even chance or better chance or worse chance than being worst case scenario. In best case scenario, in fact, there are 10 times, 100-fold times people who are already infected who have been asymptomatic. And if that's true, then the mortality rate isn't 3 and 4%. It's not even 0.3 and 4%. It's down somewhere around where the flu is. That's not to say that it's not more contagious than the flu. It is more contagious than the flu. And that's not to say there won't be more deaths than there is for the flu. But the flu is, what, 50, 60,000 a year, something like that? And it's possible, it's very possible, that COVID-19, as we move forward, is going to claim that many lives. Definitely. Maybe more. But the point is we don't know it's the future. We don't know. And simply sinking into the worst possible imaginations of where the future might bring us, that will not result in beneficial behavior for you. Because it's all a function of the flesh. And what the flesh is simply trying to do is to keep you anxious and disturbed and stirred up and fearful, because it knows when you're in those conditions, you are much more likely to be receptive to its suggestions. And if you are receptive to its suggestions, then you do things that are destructive. Stupid, silly example. Walmart still didn't have any toilet paper on their shelves today. And that is like this running joke with the workers. Like, what are people doing? What in the world? You know, now Walmart has started to put in restrictions. Surprised me. When I picked up groceries from Walmart today, I could only get 1 gallon of water. I could only get 1 pack of water. I could only get 2 cabbages. I could only get 1 bag of potatoes. 2 cabbages. That was the one that surprised me, because I've got 5 cabbages because it's time for me to make sauerkraut. Yeah, you can only have 2 cabbages. But one of the things that I took along for something... Oh, wait, hey, it's 35 minutes. I got to cut this. One of the things I took along for something on a stick was that I had these inflatable cake pops. So they had like an inflatable stick portion and then a cake pop portion. And so I put a roll of toilet paper on the bottom of it. And I said, I even have toilet paper on a stick. People like that, they laugh. So one option that you have is to look at the future and decide it's going to be the worstest, most horrible thing ever. But that decision will drive you to make mistakes and to engage in destructive behavior. How many people have lashed out? How many people have stabbed out and shot and gone into a rage because of what they imagined the future was going to be? So you can either choose to believe in a future that is destructive, or you can choose to believe in a future that's life. I got on my little something on a stick outfit today. Absolutely, the flesh is telling me about how, oh, you're going to go there and people are wondering why you're being so stupid because, you know, everyone's concerned about the coronavirus and blah, 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 blah. This conversation is actually going on in my head after all the costumes I've been in. Well, you know, people aren't going to appreciate this and they're just wondering, why aren't you staying home and why don't you blah, 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 blah. Okay. I get there. Everybody that I know is really happy to see me. I mean, they're really, we're joking and we're laughing and we're cutting up and we're, and several of them said, you know, thanks for doing this. This really brightened my day. I needed this today. I said, absolutely. I am blessed to do it. So no matter what, there's nothing you can change in your past. And everyone needs to learn to release their past, take responsibility for the decisions they made, but understand there's nothing you can do to change the events in your past. You can just change how you think about them, how you view them, how you evaluate them, but you can't change the stuff in the past. You can't really know which of your predictions about the future is going to come true. You can make all kinds of things about your predictions. You can make all kinds of predictions about the future, but you have no way of knowing which of them is going to come true. But I can tell you this, if you focus solely on your predictions of the future that are dire and catastrophic, you can guarantee that your behavior is going to be more destructive than if you look into the future and decide that maybe the future is going to be a whole lot better than you thought it's going to be, or maybe the future might be that bad, but God is going to walk through this with you every step of the way. And if you take that attitude, you stand a much better chance of engaging in behavior and decisions that will lead to life as opposed to destruction. So you get to decide, because that's the glorious thing about this life. The difference between your past and your future is about a tenth of a millisecond. No, tenth of a second. Tenth of a millisecond. Tenth of a second. It's about a tenth of a second. 100 milliseconds. That's the difference. Because that's about the amount of time it takes you to make a decision. That's the difference between your past and your future. Because you're always constantly moving, moving, moving. And so your entire life is going to be lived on that little bit of line right there. And the decisions you make in those tenths of a second are going to set the course for your life. Depending on how you look at your past, how you let that influence you, depending on how you predict the future, how you let that influence you, it's exactly what Jesus said. All of us are facing two gates. There is the narrow gate that leads to life. There's the broad, wide gate that leads to destruction. And we get to choose today, and every single tenth of a second, we get to choose. I hope all is well with you. Have a great weekend.